You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station,
one day,
everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I kind of wish somebody would whisper my name like that. Andrew. That's not going to happen in song anytime soon. So I hesitate to call it the big news because it, in the grand scheme of things, it's, in my opinion, actually not news. But nevertheless, there was a, let's just say, entertaining incident yesterday involving Governor DeSantis where he was speaking at this GOP leadership forum in Tampa. And he's doing the, you know, the normal DeSantis shuffle where he's talking about all the great things that have happened, and many great things have happened under him as governor, including improving the percentage of the state's electorate, which swings Republican and all of this stuff. But, you know, there was somebody in the crowd, a disruptor, and here's how it all went down.
I got elected to lead, not to follow. And the only way I knew how to do it was to fly under a banner of bold colors, not pale pastels. We would lead resolutely, and we would stand for the conservative principles that have made this country great. And what have the results been?
By the way, why so angry about pastels? I mean, you know, who doesn't love a good pastel? No. There's manly colors, and then there's unmanly colors, I imagine, would be the underlying idea here.
Florida, for 4 years in a row, we have reduced our budget, and there's no other state that can say that. We have 3 or 4 million more residents than New York State does, and New York State, hey, Soros isn't paying you enough because you're not very good at this. You should try again. He needs to pay some better talent instead of having people like you show up. This ain't my first rodeo, lady. I've seen it all, and you ain't very good at it.
That, and then, you know, I guess because she was escorted out, not surprisingly. And, you know, he went on to give the rest of his speech.
We have 3 or 4 million more residents than New York State does, yet our budget's $117 billion. Their budget's $268 billion. We have the lowest per capita tax in the country. We've paid off, just since I've been governor, 52% of our state's debt. And we have a smaller government today than the day I took office. See, it can be done.
Very standard brag. Correct, by the way. Good brag.
And I can go on and on with all the victories, but I told Blaze I was only going to be 10 minutes and not 40 minutes. So just suffice it to say that we led on every important issue. We delivered more results than has ever been delivered. And the state is better for it. But don't just take my word for it. When I got elected in 2018, we had hundreds of thousands of more registered Democrats than Republicans. And Florida had never, in the history of the state, actually had more registered Republicans than Democrats. Today, we have 1.5 million more registered Republicans than Democrats.
Yep, correct. And last thought on this.
Today, if you look amongst all those registered Republicans, there are 1 million registered Republicans in Florida who, on the day I got elected in November 2018, were either Democrats or no party affiliation. So it wasn't just people coming who were Republicans. Yeah, that happened. Some say too many came to Florida. I didn't tell anyone to come, but, you know, a lot of people came because we were a refuge of sanity in a world gone mad. We respected people's freedom and we stood for the right things. But these are folks that have shifted in our direction.
Yeah. But I do want to go back to the heckling incident for just a second, because all of that, good, I agree. Governor gets a lot of credit for that, for sure. This video was all over social media. I mean, this is like, you couldn't go anywhere in the political portions of social media or regular media without seeing this. And the speech was actually from Tuesday. And having watched it a couple of times, the more I watch it, the spider sense in me tingly a little bit. And not that I think it was staged, okay? I don't. But it was performed like an off-the-cuff reaction. And it seemed to me like maybe, I'm going to play it again, so you'll get a chance to judge this for yourself. It seemed to me like maybe this wasn't an off-the-cuff reaction so much as a steering wheel speech that had an opportunity to come to light. You ever go and get involved in a confrontation of some kind? I mean, every human has. And, you know, it doesn't go the way you want it to. Or, I mean, maybe it does, but it could have gone better. And then later on your drive home, you have the steering wheel talk, like where you're like, oh, I should have said this. And, you know, it's too late. You know, I have this all the time on the show, you know, 9:15. Oh, man, I should have said that. Or, you know, goodness, at 7:15, I should have said this at 6. Whatever. Okay, it happens all the time. It's very human. And then you're like, well, I'll probably never get a chance to use that. But if I do, I kind of feel like DeSantis was sitting on this one. Like, he had this line waiting for an opportunity, and the opportunity arose, and he hammered her with it. By the way, just like a heckler, if, you know, they heckle more than once, they're probably like, well, that heckle didn't work too good. I have to come up with a better one, and they come back some other time with it. And, of course, by the way, I have my own thoughts about heckling, but we'll deal with that in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Avalon Boulevard at Sanamid in Milton. Use caution through that area. Also, the front gate of NES Pensacola backed up to Bayou Grande Lane. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. By the way, if this was a practiced line that the governor came up with previously, either for whatever reason or just because as a result of, you know, man, I had a heckler today. I got to come up with a good line for the hecklers. I know, Soros, right? Okay, no judgment. Like, that's what you do. That's why you, when you lose arguments, you come up with better answers. And, you know, when things don't go your way, you think, what will I say the next time? And, I mean, it's not a criticism. I'm just observing. It felt like that to me. So I'm going to play it again, and you decide for yourself whether it was just an off-the-cuff, you know, moment or whether, and if you kind of watch his face, I think it seems to lean more the other way, kind of like he's super satisfied with himself at the line, which could just be he was creative in the moment, or it could be like, yeah, finally got that in. Okay, so here goes. This is listening to it again. You decide for yourself.
We have 3 or 4 million more residents than New York State does, and New York State, hey, Soros isn't paying you enough because you're not very good at this. You should try again. He needs to pay some better talent instead of having people like you show up.
The laugh is to me, you decide.
This ain't my first rodeo, lady. I've seen it all, and you ain't very good at it.
If I had to guess, I think the first line, the Soros line, was practiced, and this ain't my first rodeo. I've seen it all. That was actually authentic in the moment. Either way, it's not a criticism, I'm just an observation, learning how to read people. PJ, opinion?
Oh, I agree with that completely.
Okay. Yeah. Which, hey, that's how it works. You know, you save up a line, you're ready to use it, your spouse says something dumb, and you bang, and then you have to apologize. So anyway, it's 6:18 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, you know heckling is un-American, right? Wait a minute. You heckle at sporting events. Oh, not that kind of heckle. That's fine. That's just showing up and trying to influence the outcome. I have a friend who always said, when I go to a game, I'm not trying to spectate. I'm trying to influence the outcome. And I like that, you know. There might be, you know, limits. You don't want to be like Philadelphians. You know, there are limits to the way you heckle. But anyway, but heckling, you say, well, America's always a rowdy, contentious political. Oh, no. It's very traditional to heckle in the sense that We've done it for a long time. I just think that the principles that make us who we are lead you to a conclusion in which heckling is actually an un-American activity, because what is our core belief as Americans? First Amendment, right to free religion, non-interference from government religion, freedom of the press, speech, assembly, right? Okay, so freedom of speech means that the person speaking has the right to speak. Heckling is an effort to stifle, suppress, interfere with, or deprive somebody of their appropriate, legitimate free speech opportunity. You say, yeah, but she's using her voice. Okay, I mean, voice and speech, I'm going to say, are not exactly the same thing. You know, if she were banging a drum or playing her phone in a disruptive manner, or I don't know, she had brought in a little triangle and ding, 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 you know, I mean, or a cowbell. I mean, that's a disruption. The fact that she's using her voice as the noisemaker doesn't make it speech. It's a violation of the concept of free speech. Shouting other people down, trying to suppress them, those are un-American things because they are an effort to prevent somebody from exercising their right to free speech, which is un-American. Feel free to disagree with me. 437-1620. Wouldn't be the first time. Hopefully it wouldn't be the last time. I want you to disagree. That's how you learn. That's how you play. That's how you defend. That's how you figure out what the truth is. 437-1620. If you have a home improvement project that you're working on or you're thinking about, and that's actually, honestly, that's the time to go to Pensacola Hardware. Not when you know what you're doing and you have your list of things you need to buy. I mean, it's fine to go to them then, but I would recommend you go to them in the planning stage and say, hey, here's the thing that I'm thinking about doing. What do you think I should do? Is there a way to do this better? Is there a, how would you approach it? You know, they're like the living YouTube, which is such a weird, it used to be you'd go to the store to ask the expert what to do, and then you learned over time that you knew more than the people at the store, so you stop asking, and then along comes YouTube, and then you go to YouTube. And so, like, YouTube has become the expert, and, like, now, like, what's always been the case, the Pensacola Hardware has always been the human YouTube. So it's kind of weird that I would say they're the human, but they are, right? That's the place to go to ask them what to do. Whether you're just, you know, ordinary person like me who might do some honeydew project, or whether you build things for a living, they know. They have been doing this as an institution for 175 years, since 1851, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. So go and get advice. And of course, you know, go buy your stuff from them. Good price, great quality. That's an emphasis for them. And they can help you out with anything. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday, beginning at 5:30, enjoy the celebration of local art in downtown Pensacola during First Friday's Art Walk. Explore local art galleries, live music, refreshments, while supporting and celebrating local artists. See visitpensacola.com for more. Check out the end of summer finds at the Palafox Market, Saturdays from 9 till 2. Experience why Palafox Market was named Best Farmers Market by Southern Living Magazine. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Again?
Not again.
Not again, man.
Is that possible?
What a loser.
Morning, 623, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Happy Thursday. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Well,
and you had an enhancement for me.
Yeah, that's talking, right. Yeah, you were talking about DeSantis and the practiced line
to come back to the heckler.
He'd been holding on to that line forever. All I could think about was that episode of Seinfeld where Costanza came up with the... They were in the meeting and somebody... I think he was eating shrimp or whatever. Uh-huh. And they said the shrimp was... The ocean's running out of shrimp. He had that line building in his head and he had to go all the way back to the meeting in Akron or something and say, the jerk store called. They're running out of you. It was all I could.
It's a great. It is. It's kind of a Costanza sort of thing. And again, no judgment. That's actually how things work. But it is kind of
happens,
you know,
all the time. Yeah, you always come up with it after the fact.
Go on, sir.
Well, former Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife are asking a federal judge in New York to dismiss drug trafficking charges against them. Their lawyers argue Maduro had immunity as a foreign head of state. His wife claims sovereign immunity. Both have pleaded not guilty. They'll be back in court in November. Rescue teams in Nepal are focusing on hydropower tunnels where dozens of workers could potentially still be alive. A week now after the flooding that killed over 1,100 people and over 4,000 people are still missing, including workers they believe are underground.
Because they have access to air in those tunnels, I'm guessing.
Right, yeah.
And
the Kennedy Center, Andrew, removing a 24-foot aluminum sculpture from its grounds. Of course, there's some...
Oh, that was my favorite one. Dang it.
Was it?
I saw the picture. Statue. It's a blue thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I know.
Apparently, they're making some changes there at the Kennedy Center. The sculpture was called Blue. That was the name of it, so...
Oh, okay.
It was created by artist Joel Shapiro and donated to the center in 2019. The center says the artwork's future location will be determined by a foundation dedicated to Joel Shapiro.
Okay. So it's been there for the eternity of 7 years.
It seems like a lifetime, doesn't it?
All right, fair enough. 625 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash at Avalon Boulevard at Cyanamid in Milton. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
All right, I came across a story yesterday that I want to share with you that I think is, I give one. Did you see the Bo Bergdahl story? This is interesting. For those of you who've cared about this issue for a long time, you know, Bergdahl was a deserter, went over to the Taliban, comes back, gets charged, and then basically winds up having his case thrown out because of there was a conflict of interest with the judge. Because he had not disclosed that he was going to go work for the federal government in some capacity. It's a convoluted story, the short version of which is that Bergdahl got off in the end, okay? That, right? I heard it in your voice, PJ. Make that noise again. Yeah, like, it's frustrating that a guy would cause all the problems that he did and do all the things wrong that he did and would basically get off. Well, the vacation verdict there was done by the vacation. Okay. The conviction was vacated in 2023 by U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton. He's the one that, you know, they had the problems. Okay. Well, now it turns out that another judge basically, or a panel, has ruled that Walton inappropriately threw out the sentence, that should not have been done by a civilian judge because it was a military trial, that it should only have been done by a military court. And so they've basically undone the undoing. Legal things are complicated. They've undone the dismissal of the charges. And so by my read, it means he goes back to jail pending military review. I don't know exactly where it goes from here, which I'm fine with. In fact, thrilled with. If he winds up back in jail, excellent. I mean, that's great. So it's a weird story. But, you know, sort of the gears of justice grind slowly. We'll see what turns out in the end. No, but the one I was going to tell you about, that just this has got to be one of the weirdest stories that I maybe ever. Okay. And here's the story. A study of U.S. traffic deaths reveals that on days when big artists release their albums, traffic deaths spike. So when Bad Bunny comes out with Un Verano Sin Ti, I don't know Spanish, or when Taylor Swift's Midnights come out, they tracked 233,000 traffic deaths from 2017 to 2022, and compared the overall pattern of traffic deaths by day with the 10 biggest album release days and the surrounding deaths on days close to that. So, you know, the album comes out on Thursday, this many people die, nothing comes out on Friday and on Wednesday, and a lower number of people die. Meaning that album releases kill people. And they give one theory. I have a slightly different theory, but the theory is because people are streaming the music in their cars, especially younger people, especially male and solo drivers. It's even higher. Like, they are more disproportionately. It also tends to happen on clear days. It tends to not be related to alcohol, which means, you know, clear days, people are more comfortable. They're not worried. On a rainy day, they tend to drive more carefully. So if an album release comes out on a rainy day, it doesn't kill as many people. When an album releases on a nice clear day, people die. How many people? 18. This is not a trivial number. A typical day kills 121 people in America in traffic, and 139 people die on average on these 10 different album release days, primarily because people are streaming the music in their cars and paying less attention to their driving and paying more attention to the music. I have a second theory, which is that it might be a sleep deprivation thing, because real fans, what they'll do is they'll stay up at night and listen to the album like four times and then go to work, and they're probably sleep deprived. But in either way, they also found that in cars that do not have in-dash entertainment systems, the effect is lower. So 18 people on average die in traffic on album release days, which, number one, means drive more carefully on album release days. Number two, I think it means we need to bring charges against Bad Bunny and Taylor.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Minneapolis mayor praising the police still struggling from defunding. Three officers injured responding to an active shooter at a high-rise apartment who shot seven people in all. Two civilian victims died. The gunman shot himself after police responded.
I can't emphasize enough how dangerous this situation was and how heroic our officers were in their response.
Mayor Jacob Frey. The Lindsay Clancy jurors back for day six of deliberations after telling Judge Sullivan a second time they were unable to reach a verdict. He applied the so-called dynamite charge, telling them no jury is as qualified to find the right verdict, and if the mother was in control when she killed her three children. Heartbroken family in Greensboro, North Carolina. Their 13-year-old Caden, a picture of health, collapsed and died of cardiac arrest at football practice. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got cloudy skies, and it is 76 degrees. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a couple of minutes. Well, this week, President Trump nominated Acting Navy Secretary Hung Cao for the permanent job following the departure, of course, earlier this year of former Navy Secretary John Phelan due to tension over shipbuilding priorities. Congressman Jimmy Patrona says he's known Hung Cao for more than 15 years since he served as the commander at the Navy Dive School.
Here he is. He's a refugee with he and his family from Vietnam, had to basically placed in Guam until a sponsor family could bring him to the United States, and gets here, ends up becoming a Naval Academy graduate, and then has led unbelievable missions, whether it be the recovery of John F. Kennedy Jr. or the Egypt Air flight.
And Petronas tells News Radio that Cao is an American success story and an incredible leader. Well, a man facing a felony criminal mischief charge after allegedly damaging a Flock camera in Destin last month. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office says that they're also looking for a second suspect in that case. And there was a separate camera damage incident near the Walton County line that they're also investigating. Officials say that people can disagree with the technology, but destroying property is still a crime, even now that the Flock cameras have been deactivated. Well, there's some new charges filed against two Flomaton parents who were arrested after their child was hospitalized in critical condition this week. Eric McClure and Cynthia Tedder now face attempted murder charges along with torture and willful abuse. Police say other kids were also found living in the home and are now in the care of Alabama's Department of Human Resources. A neighbor tells Channel 3 that he'd long been concerned about the kids' living conditions, describing a home with roaches and kids who often appeared to be unclean. McClure and Tedder are being held without bond and awaiting extradition back to Alabama. The Council on Aging of West Florida has opened a new congregate meal site at the St. Luke United Methodist Church. They'll be giving seniors in the Cantonment and Century areas access to meals, exercise, and social activities. The site is funded through a $62,500 Rural Elderly Assistance Grant that was approved by county commissioners last month. Attendance at that site has grown quickly since they opened in July, with around 25 regular clients. Now the Council on Aging also hosting a senior resource fair in Century on September 18th. They'll be offering health screenings, case management, and other services for older adults. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. PJ has our traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Gulf Breeze, that's looking good as well. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
We will have a small 30% chance of some pop-up showers today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Friday, 80% chance of rain, high near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Saturday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 78 degrees in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, and 76 in Milton. Your next news. At 7, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A federal judge has ordered Google to retool the system powering its monopoly in digital advertising. It is the second time Google has received a reprieve from a Justice Department proposal to dismantle its internet empire. Parent company Alphabet has a market value of roughly $4.1 trillion. The NBA has suspended Los Angeles Clippers owner Steve Ballmer for 1 year as part of a broad array of sanctions on the basketball team for violating the league's salary cap. The Clippers were fined $30 million, the largest in NBA history, and will forfeit 5 first-round draft picks, one each year beginning in 2029. Treasury yields moved lower this morning as traders look ahead to key services and jobs data for more insights into the domestic economic picture following a sharp sell-off in global bond markets. The 10-year Treasury note yield fell more than 2 basis points to 4.768%. Futures are mixed as Treasury yields stabilize. That's Your Money Now.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with IZERVAY. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. So
we have a lot of what you might call intergenerational issues going on in the country right now. These are certainly exacerbated by the rise of social media. There's always been generational disconnect to some degree. Music, you know, especially when you let young people with all their disposable income drive culture through their demand, as opposed to kind of the Plato model of Plato, not Playdoh. You know, the old philosopher. The idea, the long-standing conservative model of let the wise elders dictate culture. We have adopted the model of let the wise young people and all of their great judgment and hormones drive culture. And, you know, that's true when it comes to visual entertainment, musical entertainment, art, and all of it, right? You know, and it's not working out great, I wouldn't say, but it does create certain problems. One of the problems is talking to each other. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the problems of, you know, the young people and the old people using different language. This has become so bad that in workplaces nowadays, the Gen X, I mean, I guess we're the old people now, have trouble talking to the Gen Z because we don't know what, you know, Riz is because we're all unks. And right? I mean, that's the problem, which has always been the case, right? You know, we said things back in the day that are the greatest generation, or maybe the baby boomers, you know, our parents, they did not know. But you showed up at work kind of knowing how to talk work speak. And there was a default culture. It was used and taught in schools, used and taught in media, used and taught in workplace. And so even though we spoke a certain way when we were around our friends, we knew how to speak the regular language when it came to, you know, official proceedings. Well, with the fragmenting of culture, the balkanization of entertainment, and the way people hang around with only the people who think like them, and the rapid acceleration of catchphrases and colloquialisms and urban dictionary kinds of stuff, good Lord, right? So now you have Gen Z shows up in the workplace, and they don't even know what you're talking about. And that's a problem, because they're supposed to interact. And, you know, the older folks don't know what they're saying. They don't know what the older folks are saying. And so the older folks say, well, you know, that's just a blue sky kind of proposal. And then they go on their phones and look up, what the hell is a blue sky? I don't know what that means. You know, and then they respond by using some phrase, and the older people don't know how to use their phones. And so, you know, they don't know what to say. The Gen Z says, no, that's a DeLulu proposal. And the 55-year-old is, what the? That's not a word. I know the words. That's not a word. And they're like, oh, no, so DeLulu, no cap. You know, and you're like, what? I don't. Okay. You get my point. PJ's smiling because you've got kids of a certain age.
Ears, yeah.
Right. So you've heard these things. How do you solve this problem? Well, there is no great solution. I mean, I come to you with your answer. There's no great solution. It just is a thing. By the way, one of the ones that came up in the article I was reading about this was the expression to boil the ocean. Have you ever heard this expression, PJ? I asked my wife. She'd never heard of it. And
boil the notion.
Boil the ocean.
Oh, boil the ocean.
The idea is that's a task that's so naively optimistic and grand in scope that you might as well propose boiling the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes...
I'll ask my kids about it.
No, that's ours.
Oh, that's ours.
That's supposed to be... We use that one.
Oh.
I love reading an article about my people... That is, what? I've never heard of it. So I'm now 0-for-3 finding people who have heard of this. Anyway, there's this Sunny Workplace, SUNY, nonprofit engaged employee platform. recently launched WorkGen Translation, an online tool that decodes slang, idioms, and workplace jargon across age groups. So you can walk around with your translator basically on your phone. 80% of 1,000 Gen Z respondents said generational differences in the workplace language were a challenge compared with 30% of boomers. Well, it's because boomers have been the owners of the primary culture for a long time, and the Gen Zers are in the out parcel, right? They're the out folks. So anyway, again, I don't think there's any good solution for it. Historically, this is not all that new. I mean, everybody knows how to, you know, code switch and talk different in different environments. You know how to talk like your friends when you're with your friends. You know how to talk like your teachers when you're with your teachers. And you know how to talk with your friends when your parents are around and when your parents are not around. And you know that your parents aren't going to understand a thing. And that's why when I go home and I talk to my son, I'm like, what does unk mean? And he just starts laughing. And I'm like, it's because I am one, right? He says, that's right. And, you know, and they laugh. And every once in a while I show up in their room and I say things that are, you know, deliberately their speech. But I've learned it. You know, the secret's out. I'm trying to remember what there was one like this recently, and I don't remember. It doesn't matter. They come and go so quickly, right? Oh, Dad, that's a 3-month-old expression. Good Lord, that fast? Okay. But it's, you know, you think about, like, there's a thing called black voice, which is learning how to talk like black people talk when there are no white people around, okay? Gen Z voice or Gen X voice or, you know, the code switching is a normal human function of language because language is not all one hegemonic thing that everybody speaks at the same. And so you learn how to read the environment and, you know, pick up vocabulary, pronunciation, reference points, facts that you might use when you're around certain people, not around other people. Sometimes it involves pronunciation, you know, speaking like a southerner, speaking like a northerner, saying on the I-10 or the 10 or I-10 or Interstate 10. You know, these are regionalisms. Anyway, the point is, this has always been the case. The unique problem nowadays, or semi-unique problem nowadays, is that there's so much fragmentation of culture, particularly because of social media, that kids, young people in the workplace don't know how to speak the language of the elders, much like the elders, you know, who are watching their TV and their Netflix are not watching what the kids are watching on, you know, TikTok or YouTube Shorts or whatever. And so they literally can't speak to each other effectively. That's the problem we have. 646 on News Radio 92.3. I've got kind of a funny application of this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
No problems or delays to report. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. Mobile Highway clear through Beulah. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
All right, I think I have enough time to do this. There was a teacher who wanted to help her students learn how to, you know, study better, learn material better, interact with the material more effectively. And so, and she's an English teacher. And so she decided that people were not reading because they just don't know how to read. They don't know how to take notes. They don't know how to interact with the text. So she printed out the thing that they were going to read. And in order to emphasize the value of, you know, engaging with it, she gave them all highlighters. The only problem was, They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what a highlighter was. I don't mean like they weren't too good at using it. They literally didn't know to take the cap off or to store the cap on the back end or what you would even do with it once you had taken the cap off. I don't know. So she was giving them instructions and they literally had no idea what to do with it. She had to talk them through it like she was teaching them how to tie their shoes. And she made a fairly funny video on TikTok. It's a little long for TikTok because she's an unk. But okay, here goes. This is the teacher talking about her experience.
When anyone thinks of managing children, probably high schoolers, I cannot stress enough to you about how you have to model nearly everything. In fact, sometimes, right, I worry that somebody might forget to breathe.
If you don't tell them they need to. So this is a high school English teacher, and they read a lot of stuff on their screens, and she's giving them pieces of paper and then giving them a highlighter and discovered that they don't know how to use it, so she's got to teach that.
Okay. So today in class, all day I taught government, and today in class, we talked about Thomas Hobbes and John Locke, two old dead white dudes that were very important to social contract theory. Don't worry about that. It's not, look, we all know talking about dead white dudes can be quite boring. We get it, right? But when understanding how our country came about and the ideas that brought them here, we have to remember these dudes. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, she's not wrong in describing John Locke and Thomas Hobbes that way. I wish she wouldn't cater to the expectation or the marginalization notion that these two people, because they were white or because they were deceased, that they're somehow less important. They were super important people in the history of political thought. But no, okay, fine, whatever. That's not the fight for the day. So she gives them each a highlighter and she gives them a printed page. And
I'm telling these kids, like, here's what's going to happen. I'm not going to go ahead and give you your activity because you won't read. So what we're going to do, okay, I'm going to give you each a highlighter. And what we're going to do is we are going to practice reading and highlighting things that are going to be important. So I give them all highlights.
I guess I should say, because lots of different people listen to this show, I'm sure there are kids listening right now thinking, what is a highlighter? And seriously. So a highlighter, oh my God, I can't believe this is where my life is right now, but it is. Okay. A highlighter is a kind of a pen, like a marker, that produces a vibrant neon color, yellow, green, orange, pink, blue, and you use it for a printed piece of paper where you want to draw over certain lines or words to remind you that those are the important ones. Think about underlining in a book, except that it's even more vivid than underlining. And so you draw across. When you're in a Word doc, and you want to highlight a word and a passage and turn it yellow or blue or something like that because you know that's important. Same exact concept. In fact, that came from this. This is the physical version of that. So a highlighter is a marker that lets you emphasize a selection on a printed page. Oh, God. I never thought in my entire life I'd be in a position trying to teach what a highlighter is. But, I want to include you. I don't want you to hear this story and be like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Well, now you know, okay? So back to her explanation of what happened.
I give them all a highlighter, right? And I say, okay, what we're going to do, everybody follow along. Okay, I'm going to read out loud in the first paragraph, and then we're going to discuss what should we highlight. So I do it, and then I say, what should we highlight? And people say a couple things, and I'm like, perfect, let's highlight it. And everybody sits and looks at me. Okay, let's highlight it now. Okay, let me explain what we're doing. We are going to take this as a highlighter. And this is the end of the highlighter.
This is the end you use.
Okay, we just sit. So let's just highlight that we said that we're going to do.
And by the way, somebody texted me, and Andrew, the socialists aren't listening to you right now because they don't have jobs. The rest of us who do know where the highlighter is. Okay, but there are probably some. And they're not all socialists just because they're young. But, like, literally, when you go in Word and you click the yellow highlight application because you've selected something and turn it, if you click it again, the icon is of a highlighter. And then if you drag it over the selection, it turns it yellow or green immediately. Okay, I still can't believe I'm explaining this. But back to the teacher.
Now, God forbid there's a picture in the corner when a kid has a marker. Because you've just lost them. So we go through proper how to annotate. Here, you got to take this off. The cap goes with this because this is going to have to go back on it. Right? We highlight. I set them loose and say to them, okay, now we're going to sit here and read and highlight independently. I'm going to know how far you progressed because I'm going to be able to see where you've highlighted. And after I set them loose, I will have you know I had a boy in the front row who started coloring his desk orange.
Well, you gave him the graffiti tools.
Not the paper, just the desk, just coloring it orange.
Because he was told to use it and did not know what to do.
Coloring the desk. And if they ain't coloring the desk, right, they're coloring a picture. I can't even give them something remotely God forbid I put George Washington, okay, on a piece of paper to accompany their worksheet. It's like a free coloring page. So, I just wanted to tell you. Now, I had that fellow clean my desk.
I think this woman needs a nice half liter glass of wine and a week off, because she is at her end. But this is where teachers are at these days a lot of times. And I just thought it was such a hilarious application of the generational knowledge, reference points, technology, language concept of, and by the way, just, you know, FYI, there's no undo action for when you highlight a piece of paper. So you're stuck with it. It's not like on the computer. I actually, when she was started talking, I thought she was going to go down the road of, they started highlighting the screens of their laptops, and that could be a problem. So there you go. There's your little peek inside of education in its modern form right now. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
No delays or accidents to report. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. Highway 29 is accident-free through Cantonment. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they're very effective at this. And, you know, they're not perfect, but they just have a success. At a lot of success. Like in the calendar year 2025, they sold 206 homes as a team. That's 4 a week on average. In the last 12 months, 270. That's almost 5.5 per week. So they're getting better at this. And that's a level of effectiveness and knowledge and, you know, market skill that you can take advantage of, so that when you are selling an ordinary home, they know how to do that. Price it, stage it, photograph it, list it, open house it, follow up, all that. They do that like pros. No big deal. But also, if you have a problem or an interesting situation, or, you know, I mean, you're going through a divorce, you're going through an estate sale because somebody passed away. I mean, these are, you know, they dealt with it one time, and then they're like, okay, we don't know how to do that so well. Let's go learn. We become experts. Now we come back. When that happens, you know, these three people on our team work best on that, and we task them to it. It's a very professional approach to real estate, buying or selling. Give Christina a call, 786-3996, for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30, as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Planning for retirement isn't easy. If you don't know where to start, join Andrew McNair of Swan Capital every Saturday afternoon at 1 for What Your Money Would Say. Andrew shares helpful tips and strategies that just might change the course of your retirement. Tune in Saturday afternoons at 1 to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital.
Swan Capital LLC is a registered investment advisor.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening. What's happening? Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
So kiss a little longer, hold tight a little longer, be close a little longer, longer with Big Red.
Oh, we got some funny texts in here. One person says, get that screeching woman off of my radio. Oh, no, I understand. Not the most pleasant of voices, but, you know, people are people. Somebody else says, as a government teacher who just used highlighters yesterday and will use them again today, she is 100% correct in her description. I bet. 437, 1620. Somebody says, white out on the computer screen was a previous thing, similar for us old people. You go to correct something on your computer screen. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. A shooting at a downtown Minneapolis apartment building yesterday left 3 people dead. That includes the suspected shooter, and at least 6 others were injured. 5 people wounded by gunfire, including 2 police officers. A third officer injured in the incident but not shot. Police exchanged gunfire with that suspect who died in the incident. Authorities say there was no further threat to the public there. A Texas journalist has been sentenced to 2 years in federal prison for acting as an agent of the Chinese government. 51-year-old Thomas Weir Paukin II pleaded guilty earlier this year. Prosecutors say he worked for China's Ministry of the State Security, gathering sensitive information and recruiting potential sources. He's paid at least $100,000. And two-time Grammy-winning jazz singer and songwriter Cassandra Wilson has died. She was 70 years old, died Tuesday morning at her home in Jackson, Mississippi, surrounded by family and friends. She won Grammys for her albums New Moon Daughter and Loverly and was named an NEA Jazz Master in 2022.
That last part is the part that helped me out because I had never heard of this woman. And when you tell me it's jazz, okay. That's just a domain that I don't know anything about, so I appreciate the clarification. Thanks so much for the update, David. 659 News Radio 92.3. Oh, UWF Argos. UWF football team was named the FCS Team of the Week last week after their big upset over McNeese State. They are also now ranked 25. Now we got to live up to that. No longer, I think, predicted to be number 8 out of 8 in our own league. So, you know, good. We have a game coming up, of course, Saturday, and we'll see how they do. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening.
Stream us at newsradio923.com.